So are you ready for Christmas? You know, a couple weeks ago, I would have said, nuh-uh, not even close. But now, you know what? I think I am. I mean, I think it's time, right? I mean, December is here. Everywhere we look, there's lights and there's all kinds of cool stuff going on that has to do with Christmas. We're starting to sing Christmas songs. You turn on the radio and Christmas songs are everywhere. So are you ready for Christmas? Yep. I hope so. I'm a little bit more ready for Christmas now because we just got back from a much appreciated vacation. Lisa and I, we went up to Georgia to visit old friends and just kind of see some fall colors and get some cool weather. Yeah. And also to spend some time with my mom. And we actually did Thanksgiving with my mom and some of her friends. And it was just a great, great time. And as you know, part of Thanksgiving weekend is Friday, otherwise known as Black Friday. Now, how many of y'all participated in Black Friday with some shopping? You know, you just went out. You had to be part of the chaos. All right? No? Yeah. Now, I wasn't going out on Friday. Now, Saturday I did go out. I got myself a new shirt. All right? And, pretty cool. Got myself some new socks. All right? Good deals everywhere, right? We've got to be a part of the chaos. We got to be part of the spending. In fact, I read a story just this week in studying of a surveys that were done last year from Slick Deals, and they gave some really interesting facts about Black Friday shoppers, about what people were willing to do in order to get the best deals. And my favorite one was that 1 in 5 Americans would be willing to eat nothing but oatmeal for 2 weeks straight in order Or if they were able to get a flat screen TV for half price. I thought, well, okay, I mean, at least that's kind of smart because they're saving their money on food to get this flat screen TV. But most of the time, all we do is we just go out and we spend, right? I mean, we just kind of go out and we get what we need to do. And it's usually on just this massive, massive scale. In fact, I did some research on this place called, maybe you've heard about it. It's the National Retail Foundation. And this was from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday just a couple days ago. These are very, very recent stats just this week. The National Retail Foundation from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday this year said that 192 million people registered to shop, and we spent an average of $362 each. And that might not surprise you, but this May, a record $7.4 billion was spent on Black Friday online alone, not counting brick and mortar stores. So let me ask you, how can you tell which one of your friends got a good Black Friday deal? Oh, don't worry, they're going to tell you they got a good Black Friday deal. All right, so the top gifts sold last weekend overall was clothes, and then specific items were these things called LOL surprise dolls. I'm not sure what those are, but I'll take one if you got one, okay? Frozen 2 merchandise, video games like FIFA 20 and Madden 20, Nerf toys, Nerf paraphernalia, Paw Patrol, Apple laptops, AirPods, Samsung TVs, and the Nintendo Switch. And we're just getting started. In fact, projections say that from November to December, by the end of December, we will have spent $730.7 billion on holiday stuff. In 2018, just last year, an average Florida family spent $1,040 on their holidays, and half of that was actually spent on gifts. Now, the average amount that husbands and wives spent on each other is about $123. Hey, that's not bad. I mean, that's not bad. In fact, I asked my wife to get me something that would go from 0 to 100 in under 10 seconds. Yeah, she got me a scale. All right, that's a bad joke, all right, but man, if you think about it, man, think about the gifts that we get. I mean, they're so temporary, aren't they? In fact, most of the things that we love to give and we love to receive, but most of the things at the end of the day that we do receive, they kind of end up on a shelf, or they end up put away, or they end up broken or lost, or we kind of wrap them up and give them to our kids next year, because they wouldn't remember. In fact, a lot of times we're left feeling like my dog Maddie up here on the screen in front of a pile of wrapping paper saying, "What just happened?" Like, what have we done? In fact, she's saying, what have you humans done? You know, over the next few weeks, we're going to be challenged to look away from the temporary stuff and celebrate. Celebrate Christmas in light of eternity, forever Christmas. You see, the true story of Jesus, God's Son, his one and only Son, being born into our world as a baby to save creation from death forever, was always and forever the plan of God. Christmas. And Christmas is about celebrating the coming of Jesus, the Son of God himself, into our world forever from eternity. Forever from eternity. You see, in Christ Jesus, eternity came to live in the temporary so that the temporary could live for eternity. That's why this Forever series is happening. That's what this is all about. Seeing Christmas in light of eternity and valuing the eternal things of God over the temporary things of the world. And the best way to do this, of course, is to look at the story of the eternal one himself. The reason for the season. Now, you're in church this morning. You know you're going to hear this. Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ, God's Son. So we're going to open our Bibles to John chapter 1, if you would. Go ahead and turn there, John chapter 1, and we're going to see how Jesus, in Jesus, Christmas came forever. John chapter 1. In fact, if you have your bulletins, you can open those up and follow along. There's some sermon notes in there, and also the scriptures will be found on the back of those notes. John chapter 1. Now, as you're turning there, let me remind you that of the four biographies of Jesus in the New Testament, two of them give us a historical account of Jesus' birth, Matthew and the book of Luke. They write to a Jewish audience, and they're recording the details surrounding the physical birth of Jesus, their Messiah. And what Matthew and Luke do is they provide the true story of Christmas that, honestly, most of us see on TV, or we hear about in songs or on greeting cards. We've got some Bible reading plans for you to participate in. The stories that we see in Matthew and Luke are usually found in those things. You know, Mary and Joseph and the manger and the animals and the angels and in the Bethlehem, the shepherds, you know. Oh, silent night, holy night. You know, that's Matthew and Luke. Well, today I want to look at a third biography of Jesus that God gave to the Apostle John. And John is unique from the other two and from Mark as well because he's writing to a Greek audience as well as a Jewish audience. And the Greeks, see, they thought and they learned differently than Jewish people. And what John does is he describes Jesus, the Messiah, differently than Matthew and Luke do. See, to relate to his audience, in John, we see Jesus introduced in a more cosmic, mystical, supernatural, eternal way. We see in John that in Jesus, God actually came from eternity into time. Into time. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I'm going to stop there because right from the beginning, John goes way back to the beginning. In fact, before the beginning, before time began, when God existed as something called the Word. Ooh, like mysterious. What's he talking about? Well, underline that word, okay, word. Because in the Greek language, the word is logos. Logos. And to the Greeks, the word logos meant this mystical, it was this mystical kind of concept. In Greek culture, there was a kind of a sense of connection between this word logos and the divine. They connected it to the gods or to God. So Greek literature would define logos in terms of divinity. They would relate it to this like kind of controlling principle of the universe. The word logos. They connected it to God stuff. So John uses this word to begin his gospel, his story. He uses this term because of the way that the Greeks thought. Like, you know that word, logos? That word, that defining principle of the universe, that concept? Well, guess what? It's not an it, and it's not some random thought. Logos is actually a he. It's a person. And I'm going to introduce you to him. Look at verse 2. He, see it? He, Logos, he was with God in the beginning, and through him, the Word, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. This Logos created everything. So starting right here in verse 1, John begins introducing who Logos is. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I hope you'll just let this mystery capture your mind right now. Just think about this for a second. What is he talking about? I mean, if Logos is the God who made everything, who is it? Who, from the beginning of everything, created everything? Who is John talking about? Well, because we have the rest of John's book, the rest of the story, we know who John is talking about. Yes, the Word, Logos, is Jesus. But don't miss this. John 1 tells us that there is more to Christmas and more to the Christmas story than what we read about in Matthew and Luke. Don't miss the picture that he is painting here, the picture of eternity. You see, Jesus didn't begin as a baby. He always was. So in the heart and in the mind of God, Christmas began forever ago from eternity. And God's word tells us that the eternal one, Jesus, existed as God forever from eternity. Christmas just marks that time when eternity came into time. And this is where we get this idea, this sacred mystery, this doctrine of the Trinity. John chapter 1. Now this is confusing because the Bible really never uses the word Trinity or the word Godhead, but what this means is that God existed in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, meaning that there is one God, but he existed and shows himself to mankind in three different ways. God the Father, Creator God, God the Son, who came in the flesh, and God the Holy Spirit, who would come later and live within his people. And John is saying that the Word, God the Son, existed as part of the Trinity in the beginning, before time. In fact, he created time. The Word, Logos, became a person. And that person got a name. His name was Jesus. And in Jesus, God actually literally came from eternity into time. Now, time, man, time's a weird thing, all right? I've got this clock up here, you know, just kind of show it because, and on the screen, you see these arrows, okay? The arrows just kind of go, and they don't have any beginning and any end. You see the arrows on the beginning? There's no beginning and there's no end. Time's kind of a weird thing if you think about it. I mean, we think of it in linear ways, that it has beginning, it has end, it has numbers, it has, you know, seconds and minutes and hours and weeks and months and years and centuries and all that. Time, right? Time. But here's the thing about God, and here's the thing about the eternal one who crashed into time. He has no beginning, and he has no end. Figuratively, like these arrows, they go on forever, like eternity. So imagine God existing in this, because it's true, in another dimension, a whole nother dimension outside of time. No linear time. In fact, God exists in a place where there is no time. This is where he exists. And God existed before time and operates outside of time. And this dimension, this place, this heavenly realm is where the Logos, where Jesus came from when he entered into the Virgin Mary's womb as an embryo. Think about that. This, the first miracle Jesus ever did was on Christmas morning. Think about this. You see, because Christmas is not an event within history or time, but it's when an eternal God came crashing into time, into human history. It's an amazing thing to think about. And this is where we get another just divine concept, this mystery called the incarnation. The incarnation, when God became human, the Word, Logos, the Son of God, who pre-existed as God. He took on a human body, took on a human name, and assumed human nature. in order to accomplish God's eternal plan for all mankind to save us. Later in the Bible, God affirms this through the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 1. Listen to what God's word says. It says, the Son, Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him, in the Son, in Jesus, in Logos, in him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus, the incarnated one, the visible image of the invisible God who created all things. So y'all listen, Christmas means, it means that from eternity, God, the Son who created time, crashed right into our time. He crashed right into our schedules, into our calendars, into our clocks. And speaking of our calendars, we set our calendars by the coming of the Son of God, Jesus. You see, in a few weeks, what's going to happen? We're going to flip our calendars over, this is crazy to me, into 2020 A.D. And those initials A.D. go back to the Latin phrase meaning in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. A.D., it marks the time that Jesus came into human history 2,020 years ago. From eternity, the eternal God in Jesus became human, and he came into a time, into a specific time, at a specific place. Jesus came into time at a specific time, and he came into came from an eternal place into a specific place. In Jesus, God came from where? Heaven, eternity, to earth, a real place, an eternal place. And he came into a real place, a temporary place, a specific place, Bethlehem, in Palestine, on planet Earth. So we think about this. Jesus coming from heaven to earth. You just got to understand, Jesus left the perfection of heaven to be born in a messy manger. The exalted King of heaven came humbly to earth as an infant that needed to be fed, that needed to be changed, that needed to be kept warm by his creation. This vulnerable baby, Jesus would experience the pain of childbirth. Think about this, the eternal God had come onto our planet through a birth canal. That just blows me away. That he would experience that first breath, the pain of that first cry, that first tug of hunger. How must that have felt to God? The God who created the stars would now sleep underneath the stars. The God who created the sun would now need to be warmed by the sun. From the light of heaven to the darkness of earth, Jesus came to us. Church Father Athanasius put it this way, the Logos, who in himself could not die, accepted a body capable of death, so as to sacrifice it as his own for us all. Jesus came from heaven to earth to literally meet us where we live, to feel what we feel, to help us take our eyes off of the temporary things and to focus on the eternal things, on the kingdom of God, on what will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 4. John's talking about life. In him, the Logos, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. You see, Jesus came to bring the light and to life of heaven to the death and darkness of this place, of earth. Look at verse 5, John 1, 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And you guys know as well as I do, man, even at Christmas time, the world is full of darkness. Life is fragile. Some of y'all are hurting today because of your health, because of the needs that you have in life, because of your jobs, maybe your marriages or your own mortality or the mortality of someone you love. But as John says, darkness, darkness will not overcome the light that has come from heaven to earth, who is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus brings the hope of eternity, especially when there seems to be no hope in the temporary. He came to bring the hope of heaven to earth. So today I pray that Christmas will remind you and remind me of heaven, of eternal life. And some of y'all need to hear that today. Because Christmas time is an especially hard time for you today here on earth. In fact, most of us have lost someone that we love. Someone that we know and love has died and lives in heaven today. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Someone special in your life. So to kind of put things in perspective, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. If you wouldn't mind, if there's someone that you've loved in your life, someone that has gone on and now lives in heaven, you're thinking about right now, would you just go ahead and stand in their honor, just in a way of saying, you know what, I remember you. I remember you. I honor you. See, Christmas is a time when we remember that Jesus came from heaven to earth so that we could have life after this life is over with. Look around. I mean, almost every one of us has someone to remember today. Thank you. You can be seated. Christmas, forever from eternity, y'all, reminds us that Jesus came from heaven to earth to bring the hope of eternal life in heaven after this life is over, after death, to all mankind. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. From heaven to earth, the true light that gives light to everyone, even those of us who are hurting today, was coming into the world. And that is the message of Christmas. So every time you go out today and tonight and you see a Christmas light, when you go home and you flick on your Christmas tree lights, when you look up in the stars and you see the stars in the sky, I hope that you will be reminded of the light of Jesus, the light of the world that John 1:9 talks about, that has come into the world at just the right time. In fact, Galatians 4 tells us when the time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. You see, on Christmas, from heaven to earth, Jesus' time had come. In fact, all the prophecies of the Old Testament that point to Jesus were fulfilled in Jesus centuries before he came. It pointed to the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. In fact, some of those prophecies fulfilled exactly what would happen on Christmas morning and where it would happen. Isaiah 7:14 tells us that the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive 700 years before Mary had Jesus. Isaiah said a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son and call his name Emmanuel. And Micah 5:2 says, but you, Bethlehem, the place Jesus would be born hundreds of years before Jesus, said, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over all of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times, the prophecies of Jesus. It connects us right to Matthew chapter 1 that reads like this thing from ancestry.com. I mean, if you read the genealogy of Jesus, you see that from the time of Abraham, it just set it up years and years, following perfectly not only the prophecies, but the family line from Abraham to the time that Jesus would come on heaven to earth. The prophecies, the genealogies from forever ago show us that Jesus, the light of the world, had come just as God has predicted it to come. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. Let earth receive her King. So let me ask you, did earth receive her King? Did earth receive her King? Look at verse 10 and 11. He was in the world. He came from heaven to earth. And though the world was made through him, look at these words, the world did not recognize him. Verse 11, he came. Oh, he came to earth from heaven. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. As obvious as it might seem, and many of you said yes this morning, that Jesus was God, he was not received as king by his own people. We really need to hear this morning, especially at Christmas. Because if we're not careful, our lives might be moving so fast, even in this season, that we will become preoccupied with the temporary things. Too busy, moving too fast to stop and to recognize and to receive the most beautiful thing that ever happened in all of eternity, Jesus. You may have heard the story of this man. His name is Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell, he's recognized as one of the greatest violinists in the entire world, and he's so good that in January of 2007, when this story that I'm about to tell you takes place, he had just packed out Boston Symphony Hall for $100 a ticket. He never ceases to amaze his audiences and receive standing ovations, and 3 days after that concert in Boston, he was invited to do an experiment for the Washington Post. In this experiment, he would put on a t-shirt, put on a ball cap, put on jeans, and he would go down to a busy subway station in Washington, D.C., and he would begin to play beautiful music selections on his violin for 45 minutes. And his violin, by the way, cost over $3 million. So yeah, that's a thing. In fact, don't put that on my Christmas list. But so here he goes. Normal clothes on a normal day, in a normal place, Joshua Bell does this experiment. Let me read you what the Washington Post article states. It says this: each passerby had a quick choice to make, one familiar to commuters in any urban area where the occasional street performer is part of the cityscape. Do you stop and listen? Do you hurry past? Do you throw in a buck just to be polite? Does your decision change if he's really bad? What if he's really good? Do you have time for the beauty? Shouldn't you? Well, on that Friday in January, those private questions would be answered in an unusually public way. No one knew it, but the fiddler standing against a bare wall outside the metro was one of the finest classical musicians in the world, playing some of the most elegant music ever written on one of the most valuable violins ever made. His performance was arranged as an experiment in context perception and priorities, as well as an unblinking assessment of public taste. In a common setting, an ordinary setting, in an inconvenient time, would beauty transcend? Would beauty transcend? So what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Well, to sum it up, at the end of the day, over 1,000 people passed by back and forth trying to catch their next train on their way to work or wherever they were going on the subway. They were in their routine and they were just moving right past the person playing perhaps the greatest violin music they would ever hear in their lives. And no one stopped for more than a few seconds to notice, to pay attention, to listen. Now, Josh Bell did receive a few bucks in his violin case, so, you know, we'll give people that. But otherwise, in a word, Joshua said he felt, in a word, ignored. Ignored. He beautiful played this $3 million violin, and hardly anybody stopped. Hardly anybody took notice. Hardly anybody cared. Well, if we're not careful, what happened with Joshua Bell that day can happen with Jesus, especially at Christmas time. Don't miss the eternal for the temporary. Do not miss Jesus this Christmas. Jesus came from heaven to earth to do beautiful things, to do eternal things. Slow down. Worship him. Stop and notice the little bits of heaven on earth. Notice Jesus. Stop and pay attention to his word. Notice kids. Notice joy. Notice peace. Notice the eternal things. Care about the beautiful things. Share Jesus with others. In fact, share him. Bring him. Bring a little bit of heaven to your relationships, to your homes, to your family. You see, Jesus came from eternity into time. He came from heaven to earth so that we could also bring a little bit of heaven to earth in our own lives. Let earth receive her king. Let's receive our king. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to live, not only from eternity into time, not only from heaven to earth, but to come and to live in you, to live in me. Look at verse 12 through 14. Yet all who did receive him, to all who did receive him, some did, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, he gave as a gift, the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. He came to live in you. The word became flesh. The Logos came to live with us. He made his dwelling among us. Don't miss this. Jesus came to live here, Emmanuel, God with us no matter where you are in your life. He came to live with you and he came to live in you by his Spirit. This can become a reality in your life. Christmas was God's plan for making us children of God forever, from eternity. Verse 14, we have seen his glory. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace, these beautiful things, full of grace and truth. So stop and see Christmas in the glory of God's one and only Son. See, in Christ Jesus, eternity came to live in you so that you could live for eternity. John would later write these familiar words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." What a gift. "That whoever believes in him will not die, but will live forever, eternal life." God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. A few chapters later, John 14, Jesus himself would say, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them." God came to live in you, with you. Christmas is about the love of God for you. Christmas is about him coming for you to rescue you and to rescue me from death and to live in us forever into eternity. Ravi Zacharias, the scholar, once said, "God did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive." And I would add to that, God came to make temporary people eternal. In Jesus, God came to give you the gift of eternal life. And it happens. It happens when you believe in Jesus, when you turn from your old life and you are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And that because of his death and because of his resurrection, because of his blood and his life after death, we receive eternal life ourselves and we live our lives following him as Lord. The eternal God entered time to live in your time. He came from heaven to live in your world. He came to live in your heart. If you've never received Jesus, if you've never received the gift of Jesus as King of your life, you can do that today. You can give him your life once and for all. It'd be the greatest Christmas of your life, I promise, man, to give him your life once and for all and forever. And every one of us here today can experience Christmas in light of forever from eternity. I'm going to ask the band to come, and we're going to sing, and we're going to celebrate. And as they do, and as we just kind of prepare our hearts for this song, I just hope that you'll focus on the eternal light of Christmas, and that we will value, that we'll leave here today willing to value the eternal things of God over the temporary things of this world. To know there's more to Christmas than what we see with our eyes. That we will actually worship Him, take time to come and to worship Him and stop in our lives and worship God. That we will love people everywhere and everyone. That we'll value the relationships around us and that we will learn to be generous. I'm so excited about some of the things that we're doing here at CCW to express generosity to our community, participate in those things. Let's go ahead and stand together, and as you do, I do want to remind you, man, we're going to celebrate, we're going to sing here as we close, but grab some of those cards as you leave today and just kind of spread the joy of Christmas to your neighbors. Invite them to come to Christmas Eve. Jump into Right Now Media, join a Bible study or YouVersion into a reading plan and just experience the eternal Christmas forever. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you. And God, as we sing and as we praise your name, I pray that we would focus on the eternal things. Come away from the temporary and know that you are God in our lives. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.